When some loud bragger tries to put me down and says his school is great, I tell him right away, now what's the matter, buddy? Ain't you heard of my school? It's number one in the state.
Hey, hey, take it away! Get
so
that ball and fight!
So be your school!
Among the many injustices in our society, income disparity, racism, wealth disparity, homophobia, extremism, war, arguably the most outrageous is our system of educating people. Education, enlightenment, intelligence are ends in themselves, but the function most people believe is the real value of a strong public school system is preparing people for the workforce. Folks, we're failing on both counts, but we fail more with some people than we do with others. A large part of the reason is that we have an educational system that plays favorites. I call it educational apartheid. It should be unconstitutional to have such a fundamental purpose of the public sector doled out the way we do public education. And allowing disparities in education will also mean disparity in quality of life in a community. So education becomes a political football. We could change how we fund schools. We could change how we set standards. We could change how we generate funding. We could change the number of school districts. We can change the borders. But in the absence of more substantive change, the boldest thing we have done is create a system for chartering schools outside the mainstream. I'm Alan Jennings. I'm your host on Lehigh Valley Discourse. I get this opportunity once or twice a month, by day, most nights, and for that matter, just about every day of my life. I'm the executive director of the Community Action Committee of the Lehigh Valley. But WDIY gives me this opportunity to bring what I consider to be the important public affairs issues of our time to the smartest radio listeners in the Lehigh Valley at WDIY. The schools in which I'm most interested are aimed at inner-city, low-income, and minority kids. Today was an historic day at one charter school, the Lincoln Leadership Academy Charter School, founded by Sandra Figueroa, held its first commencement, and I have Sandra in the studio with me. Welcome, Sandra.
Thank you, Alan.
As is the case with almost all of my guests, I've had a long relationship with Sandra. Her husband is the former executive director of what is now called the Hispanic Center of the Lehigh Valley. It used to be the Spanish Council, or the Council of Spanish-Speaking Organizations. Cecil Bed was a pretty outspoken advocate in his day, and his wife was really the brains behind the operation.
No.
Just kidding, Cesar Bed. I know you're out there listening. He's probably waiting in his car for me when I get out of the studio this evening. But Sandra is a gifted, talented person who's done some pretty remarkable things. But I think, with no disrespect intended for Sandra, perhaps the stars of the show tonight are two young people, two very talented, very bright young people who were in the first ever graduating class of the Lincoln Leadership Academy. They are Abraham De La Cruz. Abraham, welcome.
Welcome. Thank you, Alan Jennings.
And Karina Lovera. Karina, welcome.
Thank you.
Okay, now you got to make sure you're close to the mic. And, you know, I know this is new to you, but I know you've got all the talent in the world to handle this. Let's first start with the two of you. How did graduation go today?
You know, to be honest, it went awesome, you know. It was a dream come true. You know, high school just went by so fast. You know, and, you know, there's things I regret, you know, like especially thinking that when I first went into Lincoln, thinking that it was a school for nerds, that's something I regret, you know, but graduation went good. The speeches were great, you know, having Mr. Wiley there, having the mayor, having the board there, Mrs. Figueroa, and all the families. And, you know, it was just great. It was awesome.
Grena, how'd it go?
I think that today's graduation ceremony was a very special moment for each and every one of us because we've all been waiting for it. But we didn't think it was coming so fast. And today was so impacting because we realized so much. That everything that we learned throughout these 4 years will carry with us throughout the rest of our lives. And that Lincoln has taught us a lot, and they will always be a part of us.
Sandra, let's start with your credentials. I know you as having been the principal of Dunnigan Elementary School on the south side of Bethlehem. You taught in the Bethlehem Area School District for how many years?
I did. I worked in the Bethlehem Area School District as a teacher and then as an administrator, a principal, an assistant principal, and then a principal for almost 10 years. And prior to that, I taught in the South Bronx in New York.
So you've earned your stripes.
I have.
I'm assuming that something in that experience led you to create a charter school.
Yes. Over all of the years of teaching and in administration, I always felt that we were not, as a system, offering especially kids from the urban centers and students of color and students living in poverty, we were not offering them the high-quality educational opportunities that we would want for our own kids. And I that never settled well with me. And I knew that through a charter school, we could offer those opportunities.
Why? What is it about the charter school that gives you that? What's the difference?
There are many differences. One huge difference that we have... charter schools have great autonomy, but with that comes huge accountability. So we have the freedom to work closely with our board, work closely with our staff, with our community, and make changes if we have to. If something is not working for our students, we have the flexibility to change, to modify, to improve, without having to go through just so much of the red tape that big districts have to deal with. Charters do not.
How many employees do you have at the school?
I have this year about 70, close to 70 employees.
And what's the budget?
About $3.5 million.
And it's considered a private nonprofit?
It's actually public. We are a public school. We are a 501c3. We are a nonprofit.
So the governance, is that done by a board of directors?
Yes.
Because you obviously don't have elected board members.
We do not. We have appointed board members.
Okay.
So we have a school board.
And how big is the board?
We've had up to seven members on the board.
So that school with 510 young people that you're responsible for is guided by a staff of 70 people, and you just have seven board members.
That's correct.
And can you tell us who they are? Is that something
Yes.
you can name off the top
oh,
of your
absolutely.
Head?
Oh, absolutely. Right now, we've had some change in the board. Right now, we have our board president is Melanie DeSumo.
Who used to be at Just
who
Born.
Who is very well known in our community.
Whose son was a graduate today.
Correct.
And
correct.
Whose husband, I'm familiar with Wally too.
Correct. They are very active in the community.
Right.
That's correct. Jean Masico, who is also very well known in our community, is a former board member. We have Ngozi Bell, Jimmy Torres from Minzy.
Boy Scouts.
From Boy Scouts. And Norca Morales, who is from the city of Allentown.
All right, so like what was so special, you guys, about your experience there? I mean, you both are essentially refugees of Allen High School, and you would have graduated, I'm assuming, this year, too. What was so great about going to Lincoln Leadership Academy?
Well, for me, personally, I think at Lincoln, we have a different setting. our setting is built up of a family. We have come together and we have spent so much time together, and the teachers care about us so much that just we became a family throughout these past 4 years. At Lincoln, we are provided with the support we need. The teachers go out of their way to help us. We have loving administrators like Mrs. Figueroa that have put so much work into Lincoln and has provided us with the environment that has made us leaders today, and that has that sent us off to college.
Abraham?
You know, when I think about my school, when I think about Lincoln, you know, and you know, I know we graduated today, and I know that we're no longer students. You know, we're considered alumni now. But when I look at Lincoln, I don't feel like it's over, you know. I feel like that's just the beginning. And, you know, now we go off to college, and we make more history off at college when we graduate. And then we graduate, come back, get back to our community, get back to Lincoln. You know, but when I look at Lincoln, I look at home. I look at a place where I feel comfortable, where I feel like I'm in my own skin, where I feel like I can be myself around my teachers, around my staff, even around my principal. You know, when I used to go to South Mountain, I felt like everybody looked down on me, even like the staff, even the administrators. I felt like they were obliged to, like, come at us in a mean, angry way in order to make us do better. Even when it, like, even if I was missing an assignment, the teacher would yell at me instead of, you know, come with me in the corner and say, okay, Abraham, you have to finish this. And at Lincoln, it's the complete opposite, you know. Yes, Mrs. Figueroa is a principal, but she doesn't let that power consume her. She, you know, I feel like when I speak to her, she's still one of us. And I feel like that's the special thing that Lincoln has. And also, you know, we're just one big family. We all care about each other. We all love each other. And the teachers, the staff, even though they're students, will go out of their way, do whatever it takes to make sure we succeed.
You're listening to Lehigh Valley Discourse on WDIY, listener-supported community public radio. I'm your host, Alan Jennings. My guest tonight, we're talking about the historic first commencement of a graduating class from Lincoln Leadership Academy Charter School. Their principal and founder, Sandra Figueroa. You know, I don't have any, I can't brag about starting my own school, you know, now I'm jealous. is Sandra Figueroa, who I've known for many years, and Abraham De La Cruz and Karina Lovera, who are two of the members of that first ever graduating class. Listeners know that I'm a proud Allentown resident. All three of my kids graduated from Allen High School. And I feel obligated to constantly have to defend the schools. I don't think the system is fair, as I said in my opening rant. And I think there's unreasonable expectations, given the fact that so many low-income kids are concentrated into one in one school district. You know, I'm you know, kind of defensive, and I don't want this to sound in the slightest bit or anything I say tonight as a diss of public schools, because I'm a huge fan. But who is it in your life? I mean, who made the decision for you to decide not to go to Allen anymore? Because you would have had to leave friends at a different school, and expectation in your life for you at that time. Who made the decision for you to make the jump from Allen, William Allen, to Lincoln Leadership Academy?
The person that made the decision in my life was my mother. You know, when I graduated from South Mountain, you know, I was just like every other kid. You know, I didn't want to go to Lincoln. I'll be honest with you. I didn't want to go. I wanted to go to Allen. I wanted to take high school as a joke. You know, ever since I was a little kid, growing up with all my friends, since elementary school, I always said, I'm going to be a graduate from Allen High School. And I was proud to say that, you know. I really wanted to go to Allen. I wanted to graduate from it. I wanted to play baseball for them. You know, and then when my mom came up to me that one summer day, the heartbreaking news came. And she was like, hey, you got accepted to Lincoln. And I was like, you know, I didn't even want to look at her. You know, and I was mad. I didn't want to be at Lincoln. I thought it was a school for nerds. But, you know, after the first couple of months, I got used to the system. And I realized, hey, you know what? Lincoln isn't so bad after all, especially after I realized one of my good friends, not going to mention his name, he had a big downfall over at Allen. Now, I'm not blaming it on Allen. I'm just blaming it on the cliques that he decided to, on the group of friends he decided to hang out with over at Allen. And he had a big downfall, and he became a completely different person. And, you know, I didn't want to blame it on the school, but, you know, at the end of the day, I had to, because who knows what would have happened to me if I would have went to Allen, because he was my best friend. So if I would have went to Allen, maybe I would have had the same downfall as him. So, you know, there was a couple of days where I would go home and I would just, you know, give my mom a big hug and pat her on the back and say, "Hey, Mom, you know, thank you. You know, you really did make a difference. And thank you for pushing me and forcing me to go to Lincoln, because it really did help."
Karina, how about you?
For me, on the other hand, I thought Lincoln was an opportunity for me. I didn't really want to go to Allen. Most of my friends were going to Deerhoff. So I was like trying to find a way to go to Deerhoff. I was going to join ROTC just to be with my friends, because I was comfortable around those people. And then finally, my mom, she works for the bus company, and they were like figuring out routes, and they were talking about a new charter school. And they were like, "Oh, Lincoln. No, it was called, they said Life Academy at first. And I was like, "Oh, that's cool." And then I told my friends about it. I was like, let's go. This is an opportunity for us. And then I told my best friend to go. And Lincoln turned out to be way more than I expected. And I'm like so thankful to God that he brought me to Lincoln.
One of the things that amazes me, Sandra, is that, first of all, you have 510 kids in the school. That's pretty impressive. Mm-hmm. Secondly, I guess you had 47 in your graduating class. Obviously, the smallest class, because that's well below what it would have been as an average of that number. And all of those kids have been admitted to college?
That's correct.
They're all going to college.
That's correct.
That by itself is worth bragging about. I want to make sure that people understand, I don't necessarily believe that college is for everybody. I think sometimes we make too big of a deal out of college. But you cannot deny the impressiveness of every graduating kid in that school, you know, planning on going to college. I think bragging is good therapy. I mean, I just think we ought to be able to brag. You know, I mean, if you're doing something really good, I mean, I don't think you should be a jerk about it, but I don't think there's anything wrong with saying, you know, "I pulled something off today," especially if what you pulled off was doing something good for others. So, Sandra, let me just give you an opportunity to brag a little bit about what you've pulled off here at Lincoln Leadership Academy.
Well, we are so proud of our students. And today was very symbolic of the success and the hard work of our kids. And we, Lincoln, because we have small learning communities, because we focus on building strong relationships, because we focus on intentionally building a very safe environment where our kids feel safe, and you'll hear them. They'll if you go into the school and you ask them, "What is it about Lincoln that makes you successful?" You'll hear three main answers. They love us. They give us second chances, and "I can be me." They say this over and over again. And that's certainly something to brag about. Our Lincoln leaders, when they came to school, to our school 4 years ago, our seniors, had the majority of them had no plans at all of going to college. College wasn't even on their radar. When we surveyed them our first year, and we asked them, "Well, what would you like to do?" The majority of them said, "Well, I want to go to beauty school, or I want to be a mechanic." College wasn't on the radar. Many of these kids that graduated today are first generation college students. So in their families, right here in Allentown, they're the first ones going to college. That's a lot to be proud of and to brag about.
Sure is. Congratulations for that. And my impression is that respect is a big thing.
Absolutely. Absolutely. We have a very strong focus on teaching values and the development of character and integrity. So it's very intentional with our students, the focus of honoring one another, respecting others, serving others. That's something that they hear a lot.
We're going to take a short break. This is Lehigh Valley Discourse. You're listening to Sandra Figueroa, the principal of Lincoln Leadership Academy, and two of her young and first class of graduates. Stick with us. We'll be right back.
For program support on WDIY, we thank Tobacco-Free Northeast PA. May 31st was World No Tobacco Day, but it is not too late to make today your day to quit tobacco for good. They can help with professional counseling and ongoing support. For further information, 1-800-QUIT-NOW or tobaccofreene.com.
Up in the morning and out to school. The teacher is teaching the golden rule. American history and practical math. You study them hard and hoping to pass. Working your fingers right down to the bone. And the guy behind you won't leave you alone. Ring, ring goes the bell. The cook in the lunchroom's ready to sell.
Gotta love Chuck Berry. So Sandra, is there anything about your school that is a deficit over the public school education? I mean, do you have the same kind of cafeteria food? I mean, I can't even imagine starting a school. You have, I don't think you have a basketball team playing Allen High School in the Lehigh Valley Conference, right? What do you not have that that a public school has?
Well, facilities obviously is always a challenge. Although we are very fortunate that we are sitting smack in the middle of that 12-acre campus with plans to actually purchase eventually the entire campus.
Let's make sure people know what we mean by the campus. You're talking about the old Lehigh Valley Wesleyan College, correct?
Right. Correct.
Over in East Downtown, Cedar. Right off of Union Boulevard, near Life Church.
Correct.
Right.
So we have facilities. We definitely are right now pretty maxed out in terms of our physical capacity until we purchase the remaining 8 acres that eventually we will purchase. But we do have a strong basketball team that made it to we are PIAA.
Really, I didn't know
we
that.
Are, and we made it to the playoffs this year, and our students did play against Allen, and we won.
You did not.
We won.
You did not.
I mean, I'm sorry. Not, was it Allen or no. Dearoff?
Dearoff.
It was Dearoff.
Okay,
I'm sorry.
Buy.
I'm sorry, Allen listeners. We played against Dearoff, but we won, and our kids. We had an amazing. Listen, there's a story that I'll tell you at a later date because it's a long story, but we did take our kids up to somewhere up in Lehigh for a playoff game. And we walk in with 2 busloads of our staff, our kids. And at first, I believe people were a little apprehensive because, you know, you're bringing all our kids from the inner city into up to Lehigh.
Minority kids.
You know, there was a lot of apprehension initially.
In Lehigh, nah, come on.
But I'll tell you, after the game, our kids, during the game, they were very, very respectful and cheering. And the other side was chanting some very disrespectful. You've seen that. And our kids, you know what they did? In the middle of the game, they all stood up. And they all chanted the Lincoln Creed together in the middle of the game. I mean, the next day I got emails and I got a letter and a phone call from refs and coaches. And I kept hearing over and over again, what a class act. Hmm. Your kids were a class act. I mean, they really made us very proud.
Yeah, I've been to high school games. I still go. My daughter was, an athlete at Allen. And you just want to. You want to support the underdogs, and I can remember going to Allen basketball games. I still go to them, where the other school, you know, none of them looking like your kids, chanting "Who's your daddy," which is just so despicable. And you know, where did they get that? They got that from their parents. Kids don't grow up naturally hateful or discriminatory or bigoted or anything. Mm-hmm. It's really unfortunate, and that's part of the reason why I've got you on the show, because I think, you know, young people like Abraham and Karina are role models for others, and they're also a great ambassadors for helping people that aren't exposed to the real world, frankly, stereotypes are false, they're wrong, they're unfair, they're hurtful, and mm-hmm. you know, both of you are doing a super job of helping me get this message across. So Sandra, the reality is the funding for this school is coming from the finite pot of public education money in Pennsylvania. And you said your budget was how much?
About 3.2.
And I know you know, as having been an educator in the public school system, that, you know, there's a lot of opposition out there to charter schools. Charter mm-hmm. schools are fairly, you know, controversial mm-hmm. among people and like me, who believe that public education is one of the most important things that a government can do, is educate young people. And I get a little class conscious about the uppity schools where the rich kids get to go and all of that. You've got to have lost some friends in your old world of the public education system. I mean, is that right? I mean, do you have a lot of problems with your old world?
I don't think I do. I still have very loyal friends that are still in the system in Bethlehem, and some in Allentown that we still share a good relationship. They're true educators, and as true educators, when you see and experience the success that our kids are experiencing, as a true educator, I think that takes priority over personal, maybe personal feelings. But as far as funding, charter schools, there's a lot of misinformation about charter school funding. The per pupil allocation follows the student, but charter schools only receive about 80% of the entire pupil allocation.
Why is that?
There's the authorizing school districts, those that authorize a charter school, are based on a very complicated formula that they use. They get to keep a certain percentage in order to provide any kind of services that those students might need. For example, transportation.
So, okay, I got it. The testing requirements, are they different?
They are not.
So these two had to take those horrible PSSAs.
Yes, yes. And today, the majority of our students in 12th grade that were graduating received distinguished certificates from the Department of Education for scoring proficient or advanced on the PSSAs. We made AYP our first 2 years.
You'll have to make sure our listeners know what AYP is.
Adequate Yearly Progress under the No Child Left Behind, which is what the PSSAs determine.
Right. You're listening to Lehigh Valley Discourse on WDIY, listener-supported community public radio. I'm your host, Alan Jennings. We're talking about charter schools, controversial subject for many, and I am personally a proponent of public schools, but I was asked to kind of sit in judgment of a bunch of kids from Lincoln Leadership Academy earlier this week. For their senior projects that they've been working on for, I don't know, a year or two. And I was really impressed with these guys and felt that, you know, especially on the day of their historic first commencement, that it would be appropriate for us to talk about this issue. So what is it that you can do that the public schools can't do? I mean, why can't somebody say, I figured out what that Figueroa chick is doing over there, and I can do it too, and why can't they do it too? I mean, respect, everybody says they respect, right?
Right.
So what is it that you're able to do? Why do you think you've pulled off all of your graduates going to college?
I don't think it's magic. And I don't think it's any one thing. When people ask us, what is the key ingredient? I don't know that there is a key ingredient in what makes us successful at Lincoln. But my first response is, we truly love our kids. I mean, we really do. We are sincere about building a relationship with them. And it almost becomes like an extended family. Just like, I mean, you have kids. It becomes like you are our kids. We want the best for you. And the kids, the students believe that we are being sincere. So when we push them harder and we expect more from them, we always use the relational, that kind of relational hook to let them know we're pushing you because we believe in you. So there is no... there's no magic bullet. It's loving the kids. It's setting high standards. It's eliminating soft bigotry. You know, sometimes because the kids come from inner city, because they come from devastating circumstances, people tend to in schools lower the standards because they have pity on our kids. We're a no excuses school. We tell them, listen, we understand your situation is difficult, but we would do you a disservice if we don't raise this bar high and help you to reach that goal.
So, Abraham, are you a nerd now, or did you come to terms with nerdness? I mean, what's up with that part? You didn't want to go to Lincoln because you thought it was for nerds. Well, you graduated from Lincoln, so what's up with that?
You know, this ties me back to a speech I heard the other day. It was a quote that Bill Gates said. He said he was at a graduation ceremony, and he said, I think it was 12 facts to a graduating class, and one of them was, you better listen to the nerd because you probably end up working for him in the future.
That's a fact. So, except, wait a minute, except for me, man, good. I'm not a nerd.
I mean, when you ask me that question, do I think I'm a nerd? I mean, I'll be honest with you.
You hope so.
I am a nerd. I love technology. I love messing with cell phones. A lot of people don't know that I do this, but I love messing with phones. I love messing with iPods, iPads, you know, computers. That's why I'm going to school for computer engineering.
Are you still hanging with any of the kids that you would have hung with if you went to Allen?
Oh, yeah, all the time. Actually, one of my best friends that goes to Allen, well, used to go to Allen. Now he's full-time at OCTI. Well, not no more because he graduates actually next week. He actually went to my graduation, and I was just telling him all about Lincoln. And he actually said he really liked it. You know, he still supported Allen, obviously, but he said that it's not as bad as he thought it was, you know, because they would always make fun of me. I'm not going to lie. For the past 4 years, all of my friends at the other schools would always say, oh, go to that whack school, Lincoln. Why do you go there? I mean, why do you want to stay there? Why don't you just come to Allen? And I would just tell them. I would tell them the truth. I'd be like, man, I love my school. I mean, it's home.
And since every single student that graduated today is going to college, that means you're going to college. Where are you going to school?
Yes, I'm going to Pennsylvania State University. I mean, Penn State University.
That's right, Pennsylvania State University. Okay. And main campus, Berks, Lehigh Valley?
I'll be going to Berks campus.
Do you know what you want to study?
Yes, I'm going to be studying computer engineering.
How'd you do on your SAT?
I believe my score was a 1320.
For the math and verbal, or the whole score?
The whole score.
Karina, where are you going to college?
I will be attending Penn State Berks.
So what's going on here? You guys, like, you're not, like, dating, are you?
No.
Okay, so just as pure coincidence? Pure coincidence?
Yes. There's actually 12 of us going to Penn State Berks. Hmm. We'll have our own little Lincoln family there.
That's cool. Do you know what you're going to study? Do you have a major in mind?
Yes, I will be going into education.
Well, that's a tribute to you, Sandra Figueroa. all right, so you were required, I guess, to do this senior project. And Karina, I was there for your presentation. Abraham, I was not there for your presentation, but I did get to watch you doing your thing on a little segment that was done about the schools and discipline and what was it, the five, what's
the
it called?
Take Five system.
The Take Five system. And Abraham needs to get discovered by somebody because the guy's got some serious acting talent.
Thank you. Tell us
about the projects.
Well, actually, the one that you saw, that actually wasn't the project I was actually on. I was actually asked to act with Dominic and Jonathan, the two other students that were on actually that team. And they just asked me, hey, you know, Abraham, you know, can you help us on our projects? I was like, sure, you know, no problem. So that actually wasn't actually my senior project. My senior project was a driver's ed video for the upcoming seniors and upcoming juniors at Lincoln so they could learn how to drive. So that was my senior project, and I presented that to the three other board members.
Karina, what was yours?
My senior project is a group named Innocent Eyes. It's actually a group trying to help an orphanage in La Limonada, Guatemala.
And I sat and watched you and your the other kids on the project talk about poverty in a way that was pretty sophisticated. A lot of people think that you fight poverty with emergency food assistance. And while my agency runs the Second Harvest Food Bank, and I believe that everybody should have a fair supply of food, it doesn't really solve the problem. The problem is solved by economic opportunity, and your group got that. How did you come to that? Was that taught to you by somebody involved in the project?
Well, this project was a perfect opportunity for us to talk to other people. People that can teach us more about relationships and building relationships with others and basically reaching out to others in a way. So we came across a person, his name is Mr. Bill Cummings, and he's in charge of Lemonade International. He's one of the people in charge. And we were talking to him about what we wanted to do. And he was like, so what are your plans? And we were like, we want to build a relationship with Lemonade International and how we can impact this orphanage. And he said, think of a way that you will impact the orphanage, but not just a one-time thing, in a way that you will always come back something sustainable. So we thought of a sports program, which is something sustainable, and you are reaching out in a way that no one can understand, because it's a program that you'll be interacting with the kids over there, and you'll be helping their environment, everything in that sense. The kids over there they do not have the opportunities that we have. So by us going over there and providing them with the opportunity of a sports program, they are exposed to something new. We will be teaching them life skills and the essential skills that they will need throughout their life. We also talked about helping them in a way of their economy by buying the equipment and stuff over there, because that will help them in a bigger picture.
Rather than buying it here and taking it to them. That's good stuff. I want to make sure that I don't forget that my friend Ray Schwab is over here pushing the buttons and doing all the things that make this program work. He's a volunteer. He's been doing a great job for a long time. I don't know how he can stand listening to me month after month, but Ray, we always are grateful for you and your help here. I'm Alan Jennings, and you're listening to Lehigh Valley Discourse. This is listener-supported community public radio, WDIY, 88.1 on most FM dials. I never can remember the other numbers, 93.9 and 93.7, it says on the wall there. You're listening in on a conversation with Sandra Figueroa, the founder and principal of the Lincoln Leadership Academy Charter School, as well as Abraham De La Cruz and Karina Lovera. Stay with us. We've got one last segment to go.
Program support on WDIY, we thank ArtsQuest and the Music Fest Cafe, presented by Yuengling, located at the ArtsQuest Center Steel Stacks in Bethlehem, with performances by Keller Williams Thursday, June 13th, Tig Notaro Friday, June 14th, John McLaughlin and the Fourth Dimension Monday, June 17th, and the David Murray Infinity Quartet featuring Macy Gray Tuesday, June 18th. For tickets, artsquest.org or 610-332-3378.
Welcome back. Sandra Figueroa, the founder and principal of the Lincoln Leadership Academy Charter School, which is in East Allentown. And if this is starting to sound like a commercial for the school, I'm trying to be one with high journalistic standards and be fair and balanced, not like that that television news you listen to. But I'm a fan. I'm a fan of Sandra's. I'm a fan of her husband, Cisabed Torres Cordero, who I've known for many years. And I know both of them to be a couple of very devout faith. And when the two of you came to me, when you were looking at growing the school from a middle school to a high school, so this the first class could find its way through and in your care for, you know, through the duration, you were looking at it possibly as a faith-based school like Life Academy was, and something made you kind of give that up. Is that because of the separation of church and state issues? What happened with the faith component of your plans?
I think it became there are two reasons why we moved in the direction that I moved with the charter. One was we knew that we were having such great success with our children at Life Academy, where we were taking kids who were failing drastically in different schools, and they were coming to us at Life Academy, and we were experiencing huge turnarounds academically and with these kids. We had for many years while I was at Life Academy a very loyal and supportive group of people that, because our poverty level was about 86% in a private school, we had funders. And at that time, when the economy took a turn, because most of our funders were just regular people that believed in providing high quality education to inner city kids, we lost a lot of funding at that time. And based on that, it was almost like a perfect storm. Based on that, and based on the fact that we knew we needed to reach more kids, the idea of going into a charter school and in the direction of a charter school became a reality.
So that you'd have a more reliable source of funding.
That's correct.
Through the public school system.
Correct. And we would be able to reach and have access to more students.
I'm tempted to ask you if you still pursue faith-based discussions in the school. I don't want to get you in any trouble. But it's also hard to imagine that there wouldn't be some element of that in your work. And Abraham shaking his head. You covering for your principal? Or?
No, I'm just telling you, there's no faith.
No, we have. I am, and I don't. I will never deny that I am a person of faith, and you know
as
that.
As I am.
Yeah, as we both are, and that that faith is what's led me on this journey, because I know that that is my calling. That is my assignment. We maintain a high level of integrity, and it is because of that faith that we have a very, very clear balance, and we're very intentional to make sure that there is that clear separation of church and state.
Let's talk about discipline. A lot of discipline problems, they're in the newspaper every day. One of the things that frustrates me so much is that there are problems in Parkland, and there are problems in East Penn, and there are problems at Moravian Academy. They don't get the attention that the problems at Allen High School do. I really believe some of this is about race. People expect certain things from certain kinds of people. And first of all, what kind of discipline problems do you have at Lincoln? I mean, you can't have every kid leave his discipline issues or her discipline issues behind, right? So what kinds of discipline issues have you had?
we have had exactly the same kind of discipline issues at Lincoln that you would experience at Allen or at Deerhoff. The difference is...
Or at Emmaus.
Or at Emmaus or at Parkland, yeah, or Bethlehem. Especially in our first few years, when we really entered, when we opened Lincoln and the students came, obviously they came wanting to establish their own culture at Lincoln. And we like to tease the students and say that the first 2 years, there truly was a battle of the cultures and whose culture was going to win out. And we won because we really made it clear to the kids, we're building an environment here where we will be safe. And I tell them that all the time. We will not have metal detectors and police officers moving around the building. This is not what we're about. We're a school, we're a community, we're a family. You're here to learn. How we have handled the situations that have come up over the last 4 years is what I think has sent a clear message to our students and to our parents and our community that we will do whatever we have to do to work with our kids. And we've gone way above and beyond even what we can afford to do. But the students understand that the expectations are you will behave at Lincoln. These are our rules. We will not treat you as criminals, and you will not behave as criminals in our school.
You're listening to Lehigh Valley Discourse on WDIY, listener-supported community public radio. I'm your host, Alan Jennings. We're talking about charter schools and specifically the Lincoln Leadership Academy, which had an historic day today. They graduated their first graduating class of seniors, 47, all of whom are going to college. And my guests tonight are Sandra Figueroa, the gifted and visionary founder and principal of the school. And also with me in the studio are Karina Lovera and Abraham De La Cruz, both of whom are in that graduating class. So I don't know if you answer this question any differently if Ms. Figueroa wasn't here, but do you have drug problems at Lincoln Leadership Academy?
I'll be honest with you, the first year we did have drug problems, but once that was resolved, once the people that were found guilty were punished, and once all the problems were, you know, out the way, after that, to be honest with you, after that we haven't had any drug problems.
Gangs?
No, not at all.
Fights?
Fights, we've had a couple. I think in the past 2 years we haven't had one. I think at the end of 10th grade or the beginning of 11th grade, there was one. But after that, I mean, we all, like I said, we all love each other. We all care for each other. There hasn't been fights.
Expulsions?
We have had none.
You've not expelled a kid from the school?
We have not.
Teenage pregnancies?
Yes.
Yes. What else?
That's pretty much about it. I mean, schools, I mean... like when Ms. Figueroa says school's safe, it's safe. I mean, it's kind of like you're going home with all your friends.
This is going to be the toughest question I'm going to ask you two tonight. And that is, and this is a question that if I could get the answer to it, I'd be able to do a lot better than I'm doing trying to solve the world's problems.
Okay.
You take two kids with the same... setbacks in their lives, low income family, maybe not know their father, maybe the mom has drug issues, you know, all the things that set kids back. What is it that makes the difference between the kid who pulls it off and succeeds and the kid who doesn't? Can you answer that question?
I think the difference is, I don't think there's actually one main answer to that question, but if I could pick a couple, I mean, one of them would be someone else believing in you. You know, a lot of kids that struggle like that. I mean, I personally, you know, I had a father, I have a mother, and they always care for me. They always push me to do my best, but I have friends, you know, that are like that. And I think the difference between one that would fail and one that would succeed is, for example, the group of friends that they decide to hang out with, the school that they decide to go to. You know, for example, if they would go to a public school, you know, most of the kids there are going through the same problems that they are going through. And since it's such a big school, you know, maybe the staff, the school wouldn't take their time to make them feel better. So instead of them feeling better, they would just go ahead and just become worse and worse. But then, you know, if you would put them into Lincoln, for example, the school, the staff, the other kids would take the time to make them feel better, to tell them, hey, you know, what you're doing isn't right. What you're doing is wrong. You're going to damage yourself. You know, you're not going to go to college. You're not, you know, maybe college isn't for them, but you're not going to become someone. You're damaging yourself. So I think the difference is, you know, one, the group of friends you hang out with, two, believing in them, having someone that's higher than you, like a parent, any adult, anybody, just believing you and pushing you to do your best. And, you know, your friends also, you know, your friends, people pushing you, and self-interest, you know, your self-interest to want to become a better person.
Karina?
For me, I personally think that for someone to be successful, like pull it all together, is having that support. Like Abraham said, at Lincoln, we have that support. We have those teachers that care for us. We have those teachers that go out of their way. Like Mr. Torres always said when we first got to Lincoln, it's your self-interest. You need to want it first, but then there's people along the way that guide you, and those people that they put these seeds in you. Like Lincoln has placed these seeds in us that want to achieve, that want to be successful, that want to go to college. The words that get planted are loving, and the students feel that they have to reach those standards, like Mrs. Segura had said. It's just something that it's not the person themselves, but once they get the opportunity from someone that cares about them, and then they know that they want to go more, and they will succeed.
Are you worried about your future?
Not at all.
I mean, my generation is not leaving you the best of worlds. You've got to understand that, youth, you're confident in yourself, and you feel sure that you're going to do okay.
You know, there's one thing to success, and that is you can't be afraid to fail. So, I mean, I'm not afraid to fail. I mean, I'll do my best until I fall, and I'll just get right back up.
And what does the future look like to you? What do you intend to be when you grow up, for lack of a better question?
You know, this reminds me of when my father told me one day, when I was complaining about school to him back in middle school, he told me, he was like, you know, I don't like working, you know, 12-hour shifts. I don't like working overtime every week. I don't like doing all this, but I do this for you. And I do this because I want you to be able to grow up and be financially better than me and your mother. I want to be able to say, hey, you know, that's my kid. And, you know, I just want to grow up, and I just want to be successful. I want to be more successful than my parents, but my goal in life is to just go to college, graduate, and do something that I love.
Karina, what are you going to do?
Well, throughout these 4 years at Lincoln, I've actually been inspired by Mrs. Figueroa. I know that I have a life's purpose. They have talked that into me, and I want to do something that impacts many lives, just as Mrs. Figueroa has impacted all of our lives. And I want to someday be like her. I want to open up a school for kids, maybe in a third world country, or at first I want to start small. And even like our teacher, Mrs. Smith, like be there, probably someday work at Lincoln and be there caring for my students, caring for these children that their circumstance or situation isn't their fault, but you are put in a situation where you can help them, where you can guide them, where you can give them what they need, and you will gain so much more from that.
Sandra Figueroa, the founder and principal of Lincoln Leadership Academy, there's no greater tribute to your work than what Karina just said, and I congratulate you for that. What about your plans? What have you got in mind for the Lincoln Leadership Academy, for yourself, as the years approach?
You know, I don't know, Alan. I know that I'm doing what I'm doing now with Lincoln, and we're building Lincoln up to make it just a strong school that would outlive all of us and will continue to make a difference in the lives of our kids in Allentown and the Lehigh Valley. I mean, I am driven by what I am called to do, and right now I'm not sure. I mean, it's funny Karina says that, because one of the desires that I've always had is to eventually open schools in third world countries, where in Central America, Latin America. So, I don't know.
What if somebody came and, first of all, I'm assuming you accept private contributions.
Absolutely.
And if somebody came to you and said, Ms. Figueroa, I'm impressed by what I heard on that Jennings Guy show the other night. I want to give you a $250,000. Do you have any idea what you'd do with it? Do you have plans? I mean, have you thought about, your strategy going forward?
Absolutely. We would definitely expand what we have now. We would be able to have more physical capacity to be able to accept more students and serve more students. We're looking at the old Wesleyan gym, which is the church auditorium, the sanctuary right now. Eventually, the hope is to convert that back into a college gym for our athletes. So yeah, there's a lot. It's good ground to sow seed.
Well, I'm impressed. Sandra Figueroa, thanks for being here tonight, the founder and principal of Lincoln Leadership Academy. Abraham De La Cruz, Karina Lavera, good luck to both of you. You've got a great future in front of you. I'm your host, Alan Jennings, and I couldn't resist but to leave you with the greatest commencement address of all time. Many of you will know this, but we'll look forward to having you join us for the next show and coming in a few weeks. Thanks for being with us.
Enjoy the power and beauty of your youth. Never mind. You will not understand the power and beauty of your youth until they've faded. But trust me, in 20 years, you'll look back at photos of yourself and recall in a way you can't grasp now how much possibility lay before you and how fabulous you really looked. You are not as fat as you imagine. Don't worry about the future, or worry. But know that worrying is as effective as trying to solve an algebra equation by chewing bubblegum. The real troubles in your life are apt to be things that never crossed your worried mind. The kind that blindside you at 4 p.m. on some idle Tuesday. Do one thing every day that scares you. Sing. Don't be reckless with other people's hearts. Don't put up with people who are reckless with yours. Floss. Don't waste your time on jealousy. Sometimes you're ahead, sometimes you're behind. The race is long, and in the end, it's with yourself. Remember compliments you've received. Forget the insults. If you succeed in doing this, tell me how. Keep your old love letters. Throw away your old bank statements. Stretch. Don't feel guilty if you don't know what you want to do with your life. The most interesting people I know didn't know at 22 what they wanted to do with their lives. Some of the most interesting 40-year-olds I know still don't. Get plenty of calcium. Be kind to your knees. You'll miss them when they're gone. Maybe you'll marry. Maybe you won't. Maybe you'll have children, maybe you won't. Maybe you'll divorce at 40. Maybe you'll dance the funky chicken at your 75th wedding anniversary. Whatever you do, don't congratulate yourself too much or berate yourself either. Your choices are half chance, so are everybody else's. Enjoy your body. Use it every way you can. Don't be afraid of it or what other people think. It's the greatest instrument you'll ever own. Dance. Even if you have nowhere to do it but in your own living room. Read the directions, even if you don't follow them. Do not read beauty magazines. They will only make you feel ugly.
And you're listening to WDIY in Allentown, 88.1 FM and HD, listener-supported community public radio. That's WDIY at 88.1 FM in Allentown and Bethlehem. Stay tuned for Celtic Fair on WDIY.
From NPR News in Washington, I'm Jack Speer. A day